Provide security podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joseph's there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
It's episode 182 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. My name is Martin Fisher. Really glad that you are joining us today on the internets. It is a veritable just menagerie of information security talent and opinion. Andy Willingham is with us. Andy, how are things?
Things are well. It's an Atlanta summer up here, hot and sweltery.
The way the good Lord intended summer to be. Also with us from her secure undisclosed location inside the perimeter, Yvette Johnson.
What? I'm here. I made it.
Do we need to send you to the HR briefing on cultural appropriation again?
God, I swear, I'm an HR nightmare.
Yes, you are.
And our obligatory news Yankee is also with us. Steve, how are things in Indianapolis?
Well, according to the weather, it's hot and humid outside, but I'm in here with the AC, so I don't care. It's pretty sunny out, looking through my window.
So the one voice you're missing, Joseph Sicoli, the sparkly one himself, had a conversation with him, and Joseph has decided to take a little bit of a sabbatical. He needs some time off over the summer. He's like still kind of recently married. He's got this job thing, and he's doing all kinds of stuff, and he just needed a break. So, I figure, the parole board met a little bit early, and we decided to cut him some slack, and he'll be joining us again when he's ready to come back. So, guys, the topic tonight. A friend of mine at work introduced me to this, what's at least on the internet, and since I read it on the internet, you know it's true, is a Polish proverb, and it goes, not my circus, not my monkey. Concept being that not my problem, and there's lots of different ways to slice that. But I think it's been running through my head a lot over the last week or two because I think in InfoSec, with a lot of the personality types we have, we spend a whole lot of time stressing about and trying to solve problems that really aren't ours to solve. And I think that creates stress not just for us, but it has a very serious potential to, negatively impact your relationship with the business. And I'm kind of wondering, Andy, I really want to start with you because, I know things about you that we've agreed we'll never talk about on the podcast, but I know you've been in those situations.
Yeah, it's definitely something that it's easy to do. I mean, as we were talking in the pre-show, security is everywhere, and we need to be aware if not directly involved in almost anything that's going on. And when you look at the CIA triad, you can almost, apply that to anything. If you take a broad swipe with it, and it's easy to, I guess too, and it kind of goes back to years ago when, security was, we were still relatively young and we were trying to establish ourselves and we were, forcing ourselves into places that we may not necessarily have belonged. We kind of backed off of that, but it's still easy to do, to get into a situation and, I guess kind of overexert yourself is a good way to put it.
Absolutely. I think, how do I phrase this? And it's the problem. It's the gift that keeps on giving, right? Because the minute you start showing interest in other stuff, it causes one of two reactions. Either people are more than willing to give you the problem to solve, or they're now going to be afraid to show you anything going forward. And I just, to me, it just seems destructive. But you know, and Steve, you and I were talking earlier about another aspect of it where, and this, Andy, this kind of pivots on your point. I mean, security is part of almost every business decision these days. I mean, in healthcare, there are so many conversations that I'm part of where security is not a primary or a secondary concern. It's a tertiary or quaternary, you know, issue, but we're still, I'm still being invited to the conversation and I'm, my opinion is still being asked for, but a lot of times it's just, you know, hey, decide what you're going to do and we're going to make it work is the answer. But there are times when security will have a legitimate concern maybe, but the business doesn't, you know, there's an overriding other concern. And Steve, you kind of talked before we started recording about that. You want to share a story?
So this story is from a conversation I had recently with one of the sources I work with in automotive. And it's an interesting tale. So this mid-sized company had an audit. The red team came in. The red team found a number of issues, conducted their report, and presented it. The biggest problem in this organization was their sales unit. And there were a lot of security issues that were not only exposing customers or could expose customers, could actually wreck the entire sales. And when this was brought up in a meeting, the head of the sales department came in, looked at the board and said, well, we generated $100,000 last month. We're about to generate double that this month. Do you really want to stop so these guys can go play with our computers? And security was put on the back burner. No changes, no updates, no mitigations, no nothing. It was that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Risk accepted, right?
That blows my mind, though. I mean, no. You're talking...
No, it's because security is always an expense. It's not a revenue generator. And if you have a business, you don't care. And it's exactly what Martin just said. It's accepting the risk over... And because of the revenue.
Right. So in the way the business thinks about these things is there's the hypothetical risk that the hacker might get us or the guaranteed risk of not generating profit this month.
And nobody ever thinks it's going to be them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are things that, you know, even though I've recently changed jobs, you know, I guess I could talk about, but I won't. But, you know, the stories of businesses refusing to invest a couple of million, you know, for something because they've never had an incident that cost that much. And then almost before they could get the period on the end of the sentence, they get an incident that's, you know, 10 times that much. You know, those abound everywhere. You know, and that's where you have to, you know, like say it's a balancing act because of, you know, things like that where we try to make sure that the value of security is known to the business. Then they start, you know, an incident that cost millions of dollars all of a sudden will grab everybody's attention, and then, you know, they're throwing things at you. You know, sometimes it's money they're throwing at you, and sometimes it's every other problem. Because you predicted this one, you know, so you must be, your magic eight ball must be working right. And so you can predict the other ones that may be coming, even though they're not, you know, a security issue.
Exactly. And I think it sort of feeds sometimes the ego of security people who, because when the business, and let's face it, a lot of what we do to the business is a magic eight ball or it's pure voodoo magic. And if we can demonstrate we're good at it, all of the sudden, we're smart.
Well, right? And if we're smart on that, you become the ringmaster, right?
Right, exactly. And some of the people in our community really, really enjoy it. I'll be honest with you. One of my character flaws is I enjoy being the ringmaster. I know this is shocking to everyone who's listened to the podcast over the last several years.
Totally shocking. This is news.
Never guessed that. Not at all.
And I think for a leader, some amount of that is required. Some amount of that's a good thing. But, you know, moderation in all things. And I think for some of the folks out there in our community, all of a sudden they've convinced themselves they know the answers to all of the business's problems. And until things go pear-shaped, no one's going to disagree with them.
Yeah, but as the ringmaster, that's kind of your job, right? That's, you are there to direct the circus, so to speak.
Yeah, there's that. But again, the thing is, it needs to be my circus.
With it, well, but think, if you're a C-level, if you're the CISO, it is your circus.
Not everything.
No. Like I said, you got to, and not only that, even if it is your circus, you know, which you could take that broad, you know, brush and paint that, but you also, you got to go back and you got to make sure that it's your monkeys. You don't want, you know, the other monkeys getting into your circus at the wrong times.
Well, maybe it's not the monkeys. Maybe it's the elephants.
Wow.
Maybe it's the clowns.
Maybe we're taking this too far.
But at the end of the day, you know, what else, as far as, yeah. So if you're a CISO in an organization, you're not the CEO, right? You're not the COO. And your absolutely accurate information security guidance can be trumped by, hey, we can't stop that because reason. Reason could be we need to keep making money. Or if we turn that off, in my world, there's a negative impact to patient care. Or, hey, if we turn that off, we also have to shut down the power plant because that's the control system for the power plant.
Hey, if I implement 15-minute idle timeout, planes don't take off on time.
Exactly, right? We've been there. And there's a point in an organization, and I think this is where a level of maturity for a CISO is really important, is you want to have that level of relationship with the business to where they're going to come to you and they're going to say, here's the issue, here's the problem, and they're going to listen to you. And there are going to be times when you're going to be told, thank you very much for your input. We understand what you're saying. We're not going to implement your recommendation. And then as a security leader, you have a choice. You can choose to fall on your sword and say, I'm out. Here's my resignation. I can't be part of this anymore. And I think there are levels that there are issues that may actually get to that level. I mean, if I was ever asked to do something illegal or unethical, that's my line, right? But an operational disagreement, I can't imagine would ever get to that point. And then as a professional and as a member of the management team, my job is to suck it up, figure out what I can do within the context of the decision that was made to make things as good as I can, and then move on.
So I have a question. Okay. When you make a recommendation and for whatever reason, they're like, we understand your security concerns, but we're not going to do that. And maybe they even give you a reason because, you know, here's why. And then later, something happens that your security recommendation would have prevented. And yet your head's about to roll because this thing happened. What do you do?
Ha ha!
No, you don't do that. I think a lot of it depends on your relationship with your boss and the other stakeholders in the organization. You could, if you've got a good relationship with them and you're not being seen as saying ha ha or neener neener or, you know, insert your regional variation of that, you could have that conversation. Otherwise, you suck it up.
Well, and you're prepared to react because right. You've already talked about this. So maybe you come out looking like the hero.
Could be.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that as you're going through this process, you know, the business accepting the risk can't be them saying, I'm not going to do that. There has to be a formal process where everything is documented. The recommendation is documented. The conversations are documented, and the business is given the opportunity to sign off on the acceptance of that risk, and they can choose to refuse to sign. You know,
thing is, though, Andy, there are some corporate cultures where that's simply not going to work.
I was going to say that requires a risk register, and do you know how many like organizations have a risk register, that's laughable.
Well, and not some might want it, but there are corporate counsel out there who would actively say, don't do that because it could be used against you, you know, in legal action. That's but at the true. End of the day, I think as a CISO, I mean, when I come to the leaders of my organization about an issue, I don't come in and say, we have problem X. This is response A. I may talk about response A, but in my mind, I've got B, C, D, E, and F also ready as partial measures, right? I'm going to fight to get as much as I possibly can. It's not just to me, if you've ever left it down to a binary decision, you have failed as a leader.
Ooh, that's presenting a lot of monkeys, right? Like, oh, if you don't like this monkey over here,
yeah,
maybe you'll like this monkey over here. Or this one does better tricks over here.
Or just it's a smaller monkey, right?
Yeah.
And at some point, you can one, I think it demonstrates your willingness to be flexible with the business, which, let's face it, collaborating at that level, some people call it politics. I would call it executive collaboration, is about negotiating something that works. And if you come in with this binary take it or leave it, most people will say leave it.
Well, and I experienced that in my day-to-day. You know, I came from working for the business and went into consulting, where people who grew up in consulting have a very binary view. They deliver their information. It's this way or no way. And I was on the side of the business for many years and have a different perspective. So when I deliver my results or whatever, you know, my report's going to say, I always caveat it with, I get that you have a business to run.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand that you can't flip this switch and implement what I'm asking you to, that this is going to take money. This is going to take time, resources. Maybe it's going to take a solution. But if I'm not doing my job, if I don't tell you that this is a best practice or this is my recommendation based off of this potentially happening.
Right. And that's what we owe the business. And what we owe them is as much creativity as we can possibly bring to the table. But even with that, the answer at the end of the day might be, thanks very much, we're not doing anything about it.
Which has happened to me a million times.
Sure.
At least.
It's happened to everybody, right? And the question is then, what do you do with it? And there's no single answer. I mean, every corporate culture is a little bit different in what you can and can't do in response to that sort of thing. But again, I think as security professionals, we owe it to ourselves to provide the business with as many options as we can and as much objective information as we can for them to make a decision. The operative thing being them to make a decision. Because I think once we step into trying to be a ringmaster for the marketing department, or trying to be a ringmaster for legal, or trying to be a ringmaster for the folks down on the production floor, that easily becomes you're now the department of no, or you're now blocking, or you're now a hindrance, and it's going to make your program a lot harder to do.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, saying, I guess, in a little bit different way of what you just said is, you know, we have to, you know, our job isn't to make the decision. Our job is to present the risk and, you know, and options. And, right. And if we try to go beyond that, you know, then we're definitely overstepping our bounds and we're opening ourselves and our whole program up for, you know, for failure.
But that goes back to what Martin said. That is hard for us because we are a bunch of type A personalities who want to boss people around all the time.
There is that, but let me – so another aspect of my life was being an officer in the United States Army, right? And as an armor or a cavalry guy, I would be serving as an advisor to potentially an infantry commander. And it was my job as the expert in my combat arm to give advice to that commander who may not have the slightest clue how to employ tanks. And you present your case, you present, you know, your idea, and the commander looks at you and says, you know, yes or no. And then your job is to salute and say, yes, sir, and carry out the mission. And I think that informs heavily how I respond to this. because again, I'm not the one in the end in charge. It is the CEO. It is the VP of marketing. It's whoever. Very rarely is the chief security officer, you know, the head guy or head gal in charge. It's just, I mean, if unless you're in the security industry, and very few of us are. So it's just, it's kind of weird. And I think there are a lot of folks out there who, with the best of intentions, and I'm not saying anyone's doing this deliberately to be a jerk, but there are a lot of folks in the security community who, with the best of intentions, I think maybe rubbing their business counterparts the wrong way because they want to be the ringmaster of a circus that isn't theirs.
So what's the end result? We continue to say, not my monkeys, not my circus, or not my circus, not my monkeys.
I've been saying that to myself daily for the last 2 weeks.
You feel better?
I feel more centered.
A smaller circus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more a traveling carnival than a three-ring service.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, actually the answer to the question, you know, is that it, you know, it depends on where you're at and what's going to work. Because, you know, like we were talking about in the pre-show, if you just say, not my circus, not my monkey, and you leave it at that, you know, then sometimes they don't know what circus to go to and what type of monkey they need.
Right.
You know, so we have to, in some instances, we have to help facilitate them, you know, getting to the right circus and to the right monkey salesman to, you know, to get what they need. And when we do that, that definitely helps us as we build our program because, you know, we're building, you know, I can't think of the word I'm looking for now, but, you know, we're building trust and we're showing people that, you know, yeah, we realize that this isn't ours and we don't want to, you know, step into where we shouldn't be, but we also realize that somebody needs to take this and run with it, and let's help you find that right person.
Absolutely.
Or right organization, right team.
So with that, just a couple more announcements. One, with the summer doldrums upon us, you know, Andy mentioned that it is the Atlanta summer. The frequency of podcasts may drop a little bit for the next month or two, but we are in the midst of trying to figure out some great interviews that we want to bring your way and kind of have some mint juleps and lemonade and sweet tea and figure out what topics we want to bring you. If you have some ideas of what you'd like for us to talk to, you can reach out to the Twitter feed at SFS Podcast, or you can send me an email. I'm armorguy@gmail.com. I'm also @armorguy on the Twitters. Andy, if folks wanted to reach out to you and have a great conversation with you about your new job, how could they reach out to you?
Well, they can always look for me on the Twitters. Sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not, but it's at Andy Willingham. That's usually the easiest way to get me. If I'm not there, if you message me, I'll get on there and talk to you.
And of that, how could people reach out to you?
Well, again, I'm on the Twitters. I'm at Jet City Vet, which is about to change. So I feel like I need a new Twitter name. So if you have a really good Twitter name that would be good for me, then
I like monkeys.
Well, like monkeys. One that was suggested was Bitcoin Hooker.
Okay.
Wow.
Not the name that would have popped up into my head right off the top, but
if you have something better, please reach out. I would love a new Twitter name since I'm getting off the road.
And Steve, there's no way you can possibly top that, but how can people reach out to you?
Why would you want to? That's the question. I mean, all these options now. You can find me on Twitter. SteveD3 is the handle. And, of course, you can follow anything that I write up on CSO Online.
So with that, everyone, thanks very much. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Night, everyone.